Coming up next on the landmark 100th edition of Daddy on Board, I'll tell you about a lost child, snack laws, piano lessons, and leapfrog, all while answering that musical question, how has this program not been canceled yet? That and a whole lot more right around the corner on a brand new Dob. Welcome, parents underrested and overstressed, and the children they forced to listen to this podcast with them. This is Daddy on Board 100. Which means the last 99 weeks of dissuasive rhetoric have been for naught. I am your host, Lightning Mike Quackenbush. I am a parent, podcaster, and professional wrestler. I have a 3-year-old son, Elliot, and I am the host of several podcasts here at the Grizzly Productions Network, including this one, The Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, and The Trending Show. I'm also on the road this weekend. Catch me as I wrestle live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin on Friday. Saturday, I'm at the Old National Center in Indianapolis, Indiana. I always wrestle live, by the way. That's the best way to do it. I'm not a CGI creation. This podcast would cease to exist if not for the support of great show sponsors Drobo. Now you can store, transport, and access all your valuable digital assets wherever you go because the Drobo Mini is the easiest, fastest, safest, smallest storage array in the world. Pre-order yours today at Drobo.com. And thanks to my long-standing sponsor, the great folks from Cobra Electronics. No, not that ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world. I'm talking about the makers of the Cobra Eye radar system and a world of other cutting-edge, industry-leading navigational solutions for the real American hero in you. Check them out over at Cobra.com. Let us dive into the parenting news of the week. Scary, dangerous, and dumb, though some of the stories may be. Let's start with the danger first. The Bumbo seats are being recalled. Have you heard this? It's been everywhere in the last couple of days. Do you know what a Bumbo is? I bet you do. Or if you don't, if you saw it, you'd say, oh yeah, I know what that thing is. It's this funny little thing that sits on the floor. It's kind of like one hunk of foam, I guess. I don't know what it is exactly. Anyway, about 4 million of them are being recalled. Yeah, there's one in my house. There's probably one in yours too if you got a little one. Several infants have been hurt by the Bumbo seat, including 21 skull fractures. If you have one of these seats, stop using it and contact Bumbo for a free repair kit. Apparently there's a way to prevent this from, you know, tipping over. The Bumbo has been sold in large retail chains like Babies R Us, Walmart, and Target for the last 9 years. The repair kit can be ordered either by visiting Bumbo's website, which is, if you're ready for it, recall.bumbousa.com. Bumbo is B-U-M-B-O. USA, all is one word. Recall.bumbousa.com is the site, or you can call this toll-free number that they've set up, 866-898-4999. That's really important. I know lots of people who have those things, and I'm really against skull fractures. Thought I'd get that out there. Here's something that's dumb. I like to pepper these in. Do you remember who Thomas Beatty is? This is the pregnant man, or a transgender individual, I guess is the best way to put it, who has become a man legally. He's got a passport that says that he's a man. He's even had his birth certificate reissued to say that he is a man. However, he was once a woman, and he has a womba. That's where babies grow. In fact, he's, since becoming a man, given birth 3 times. He, Thomas, and his wife, Nancy, are attempting to get a divorce in the state of Arizona, and a judge will not grant it. Here's why. These two, who, incidentally, they were married in Hawaii, represented themselves to be a heterosexual couple because Thomas, a transgender man who was born a woman, had a state-authorized change of sex before the wedding, and he had state-sanctioned legal documents to prove it. However, the Arizona judge assigned to this case is questioning whether the marriage is legal at all, since same-sex marriages are not recognized in the state of Arizona. The judges said that since Thomas has a womb and has produced 3 children, he really cannot be considered a man. The judges argued that he can find no legal authority defining a man as someone with the ability to give birth to a child, which, you gotta admit, I think he's probably onto something there. This judge argues that the Hawaiian wedding is not binding, and a divorce is not only moot, but that he would have no authority to grant such a thing. And I can certainly understand the legal prerogative there. I think this is going to get a lot more news because people love to talk about this guy. However, I do think this is kind of silly. Just go back to Hawaii or whatever and get it undone. Like, instead of plugging up the blogosphere with your woes, Thomas Beatty. Ah, yes. Here's a somewhat unsurprising story for you. The New York Times carried this in their health and research section just this past week, as a matter of fact. Hold on to your hats. Here we go. Ready? Adolescents in states with strict laws that regulate the sale of snacks and sugary drinks in public schools gain less weight than those that live in states without these laws. That's your government money. Hard at work. Somebody had to study that. Ah, to be fair, I don't know that it was. But the study was published just this past week in the journal Pediatrics. You'll recall them, of course, from an ongoing subplot in the X-Files. Pediatrics found a strong association between healthier weight and tough state laws that regulate food in vending machines. We're talking about, candy bars and soda, things like that. These types of snacks and drinks are called competitive foods because they compete with school breakfast and lunch programs. The conclusion of this study, published in Pediatrics, is likely to further stoke the debate over what will help reduce obesity rates in the United States, which have risen drastically since the 1980s, which, of course, was the best decade of them all. You might be shocked to know that about one-fifth of American children are considered to be obese, say the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, also best known for an appearance in the X-Files. Are you surprised to learn that the states that regulate this have fewer obese kids than those that do not? I cannot say that I am. I'd like to know how many people's lives were, like, derailed for years for the study that produced that obvious thing. I'd like to get one of them on the program here with me, on Daddy on Board. Especially since this program sort of became a monologue. There aren't enough people for me to berate on here. See what you can do about that. I know you listen to this journal, Pediatrics, you inanimate object. Okay? Here's a scary story. This frightens me as a parent. This has been getting a lot of press, and rightly so, and I think I will give it some more right now. United Airlines lost a 10-year-old girl, and then they refused to help her parents find her. That's a real thing that just happened. It's been carried by a bunch of news sources and bloggers and everything else about the plight of Annie and Perry Klaban, I'm going to say is how their last name is pronounced, who sent their 10-year-old daughter Phoebe to camp in Grand Rapids, Michigan. For her to go to camp, this required her to fly as an unaccompanied minor aboard a United Airlines flight from San Francisco to Chicago, Illinois. In Chicago, a person from the Unaccompanied Minor Service, which is a third-party company that is employed by United Airlines, was supposed to meet Phoebe and get her to her next flight. However, it didn't happen. This complaint letter to the CEO of United Airlines details what happened. The attendants were busy and could not help her, she told us. She told them that she had a flight to catch to camp, and she was told to wait. She asked three times to use a phone call, and they told her to wait. She missed the flight and asked if someone had called her camp to make sure that they knew, and they told her they'll take care of it. But no one did. She was sad and scared, and no one helped her. Eventually, the camp called Phoebe's parents to inform them that their daughter was missing. When they tried to get answers from United, they were stonewalled at every turn. This included being routing to a customer service agent in India who simply told the parents that she was sure that their daughter was fine. Things got progressively worse until one United employee was finally goaded into helping after Phoebe had been lost for over 45 minutes. Eventually, this United employee, when she got off shift, was able to locate Phoebe in the Chicago airport and was able to call her parents to assure her that she was okay. United was unresponsive to the complaints of the parents here. In fact, what seems most startling, perhaps, is that while on the clock as United employee, the person in question did not help. But when she clocked out and was no longer a United employee for the day, she was able to help this family whose 10-year-old daughter was lost in a Chicago airport. This is a very frightening story, I think, and it gets far, far worse. The more details about this that you read, the worse the story gets. Take me at my word there. They were disinterested in refunding the money even for the third-party service, the unaccompanied minor service, that aired and failed to meet Phoebe. They also lost Phoebe's bags. There was all kinds of additional fees from the summer camp that had to repeatedly send someone to the airport in an effort to meet her. United was unwilling to compensate them for that. In fact, United was basically unwilling to do anything about this until a local NBC reporter started to make a little bit of a stink about it on behalf of Phoebe's parents. And it seems as though the idea of misplacing a 10-year-old does not motivate United Airlines. Suddenly, the scrutiny of a local NBC affiliate is sufficient to motivate them into action. They have apologized over and over again to the family and have claimed that they've launched an investigation, which I know we all rest much, much easier knowing that United is investigating this. The lesson of this story to me, this is my takeaway. My son will never fly as an unaccompanied minor. I'll just go and drop him off, get back on the plane, and come back. But this also speaks, I think, too, about the frightening culture of giant corporations like United Airlines, and what is being termed felt accountability. That is to say, in a giant organization like this, some of the people further down the totem pole simply don't feel accountability for what happens to the corporation. I think there's a really valid point to be made about that. I'm going to resist the urge to rant about it further. I just wanted to bring that story to your attention, and it may inform your own decisions about travel, whether you're considering United Airlines or any other as it relates to taking advantage of an unaccompanied minor program, as in this instance, for example, the family in question did not even realize that the airline themselves did not handle the unaccompanied minors, but they outsourced it to a third-party company, which factors into furthering of the idea that United at first didn't want to take any responsibility for it whatsoever, because it wasn't their job to make sure that Phoebe made her flight and got to camp in Grand Rapids. The less follow-up reading you do about this, the better for your peace of mind. Trust me on that front, Dob Bobbers. Imagine for a second that every song, every document, every file, every video, every photo, everything stored on your computer in the blink of an eye was gone. You'd get blue screen of doom, and then everything is lost. How would you even begin to start picking up the pieces? I think about everything that's on my computer, my entire digital life, everything from photos of my son to my entire music library is stored on my computer, and it could all be gone. Well, I don't have to worry about that, because I run a Drobo FS right next to my tower, a hard drive system that's designed to protect all of my digital files against drive failure. And there's an incredible new line of products from our friends over at Drobo.com designed to do exactly that. They've got portable solutions, they've got faster, larger solutions. It can handle any task you throw at it. You've got to find out more about the incredible innovations from our friends over at Drobo.com. If you know anyone that's ever been up against drive failure and has lost everything, you know what a disaster it can be. So prepare yourself now. Go see our friends and great show sponsors at Drobo.com. I went swimming in the blogosphere this week, and I tried my best not to get too wet. That lovable rogue and loyal Dob Bobber Raul Cologne blogs over at PapaHeroes.com. He posted up this week a piece entitled "Entertaining Our Little Helper," which I recommend for all dads. Raul, to the best of my recollection, has two little ones, Daniela and Lucy. And he wrote a little bit about, this is my takeaway from the piece anyway, what I think perhaps is most critical is how early he's begun imparting to his little ones the building blocks of etiquette. I certainly felt a certain sense of pride having recently realized that my 3-year-old son, Elliot, suddenly knows the appropriate time to say, "You're welcome." Raul wrote this, quote, about Daniela, his little one. "At 19 months, she has already learned how to pick up after herself, but if there are other distractions, she'll just sing the cleanup song while Lucy and I pick up what she has left on the floor. To keep our daughter entertained, we make her feel like she's being productive. It keeps her from being bored and also is a great opportunity to teach them chores while keeping it fun for her. It would be great if she continues to be as excited to help when she becomes a teenager. End quote. I really like Raoul's work over there. Go and check out that latest piece of his about the little ways in which he gets the whole family involved and makes everybody feel productive. It's a good piece for you to check out. I also, on another blog that I frequent, mydadblog.com, the anonymous author, mydadblog.com, posted this up just earlier this week. Are piano lessons worth it? Certainly, there are lots of beneficial reasons to imparting music lessons to your little one. I took guitar lessons when I was a bit younger. These were not thrust upon me. I asked to take guitar lessons, but I know many children have that kind of thrust upon them, and I always kind of most typically think of that as piano lessons. Kids dread the piano lessons. You know, there was a local school teacher that was just a bike ride away in my neighborhood that used to give piano lessons after school hours. In fact, I think my sister did quite a long tenure under the instruction of Mrs. Eamon and her dusty out-of-tune piano there, just off Octagon Avenue. But there is, of course, obviously tons of evidence out there that teaching music to those who are quite young helps develop certain regions of the brain, and this is helpful later in life for spatial recognition and also certain types of science and math-related studies. It also imparts a sense of discipline, because in order for you to really progress whatsoever on a musical instrument, you must practice and practice and practice some more. This is one of the contributing factors that led to my failure as a guitarist. But I want to inform you about another, which is perhaps not the main factor, but certainly a contributing one. If you are considering music lessons for your little one, you might want to do a little shopping around and see if you can't find, through whether it's trial and error or a series of interviews, an instructor that really does click with your child. The man who gave me guitar lessons, an older guy named Mr. Tobias, between us, there was probably an age difference of about 45 years, give or take, only had one musical commonality, the work of Buddy Holly. There were no other artists of whom we were joint fans. And this general disconnect between his musical sensibilities and my own, I think, in some way hindered our relationship. Music, to me, is something that brings people together. And yet we had no common ground between us, really, did we, Mr. Tobias and I, after I learned to play Maybe Baby and Every Day. So it is certainly worthy, if you're going to spend that kind of money, as I think at the end of my ill-fated guitarist career, my parents would probably light a couple $100. If you're going to spend the money, make sure you find the instructor that works best for your little one. The New York Times parenting blog, which is in desperate need of a new name, Motherload, this week had a contribution from Dan Zevin. He's the author of Dan Gets a Minivan, Life at the Intersection of Dude and Dad. And he's also the author of The Day I Turned Uncool. As a humorist and dad blogger who contributed some of his meditations this week to the Motherload blog over on nytimes.com. There were a number of really funny remarks here from Dan. I'm going to share just a couple of my favorites with you. He had this to say: memo to the aloof hipster dad at the playground. Despite the onesie, everyone knows your baby doesn't really like the Sex Pistols. He also adds this: the well-dressed dad secret? Cargo pants are cup holders for the legs. And this one, another favorite of mine: turning into your father is not such a bad thing when you consider the alternatives. These and quite a few other meditations on his experience as a father are posted up. Look for Meditations from Dad in the Minivan over on the New York Times online website. I also found over on the Wall Street Journal site a review of a brand new gizmo coming out. This was written by Catherine Borrett, or someone whose last name looks like it should be pronounced Borrett. My son Elliot has a couple devices by the folks over at Leapfrog. However, to be fair, these things kind of look like relics from the early 90s, and they don't really hold his attention for all that long. In fact, given the option, my son would always prefer to play with my iPad over his Leapfrog. Well, I guess the people over at Leapfrog are not oblivious to this fact, and this week, in fact, their newest gizmo, Leapster GS, rolls out into stores. It's aimed at kids age 4 through 9, and they really have taken a giant leap, no pun intended, forward with this newest device of theirs. This new Leapster GS has a digital camera, it's got a video recorder in it and a microphone, it has an accelerometer which allows kids to either move or shake the device to cause things to happen in their games, like you would with an iPhone or iPad. It's also a lot sleeker in its design. It's like the size of a PSP, although this comes in green or pink, so you'll make no mistakes about which gizmo you pick up for the car ride. One of the most attractive things about this Leapster GS is the price tag. It's going to cost you about a third of what an iPod Touch is going for. It's expected to retail for around $70. A couple points of differentiation, though, that you want to keep in mind. Games for the Leapster GS, though. The cartridge games are about $25 a pop. The online ones, the downloadable ones, that is to say, run you about $5 a pop from the Leapfrog App Center. And when you compare that with the price point for stuff in Apple's App Store and the fact that Apple offers over 20,000 educational apps, while the Leapfrog App Center has fewer than 50, that's certainly something you're going to want to weigh carefully before investing in this particular device. Nevertheless, having taken a look at some of the stuff that's online about this, the variety of the educational apps and just the massive, massive upgrade that seems to have been made to the previous Leapfrog releases, this is worlds better than what has been out there previously from the folks over at Leapfrog. And of course, this one is kind of custom made for the little ones. As I said, it's aimed at kids age 4 to 9. It does not have Wi-Fi, which is worthy of note, so that your kid can't go surfing the internet without you knowing it. In order to access the internet, this device must be plugged into a PC. That's also the case, you know, for doing certain types of updates to the device as well. So there is no risk of that, you know, whereas with an iPad, for example, they could be surfing the net, and it can be very difficult to control the content that your kids are being exposed to. As it hits stores this week, if you pick up a Leapster GS, send me a review either at The Daddy on Board on Twitter or drop it off on our Facebook fan page or Google Plus page. Maybe I'll read it here next week on The Dob. There is a great deal going on right now, and you don't have long to take advantage of it. So let me tell you a little bit about the Cobra Tag two-way locator system. Through the free app, that works right on your smartphone, also works with your Android, it works with your BlackBerry. It's not just iOS devices like the iPhone that work with this. You can set up any item, protect it with the Cobra Tag against loss or theft. So if you're always, for example, losing your keys, misplacing them, you attach the Cobra Tag to it, and you can use your phone then as a locator for it anytime you misplace them. And it doesn't just have to be your keys. You can put it on your laptop bag. You can put it on your luggage. You can put it on whatever you want. If the item does become lost and you can't seem to retrieve it, well, you know what? It'll generate a map for you so that you can find your lost belonging. They couldn't have made it any simpler. It is a great gift, and now is a great time to get one, because if you go over to Cobra.com and look in the special section for a limited time only, you buy one, you get one free. So get one for yourself and give one as a gift to that forgetful person that you know. They'll be glad that you did. It won't last long. Head over to Cobra.com today. All right, well, before I get to your little victories sent in to me via Facebook, Google+, and on Twitter, I want to tell you a little bit about what I did last weekend. Last Sunday afternoon, August the 12th, I joined together with the entire Chikara cast and crew to present at a live wrestling event for the benefit of Baseball Town Charities. This took place in my hometown of Reading, Pennsylvania, in Berks County, at First Energy Stadium, a little league ballpark, overseen by the Reading Phillies organization. Prior to this event, the Reading Phillies organization had reached out to my hometown newspaper, the Reading Eagle, about helping to spread the word and possibly do a feature about this event. It certainly seemed to have a very obvious hook, as a hometown boy, yours truly, was returning to help conduct this charity event for a Berks-headquartered nonprofit organization. In fact, Baseball Town Charities is headquartered just a couple blocks from where the Reading Eagle's printing presses are busily right now cranking out tomorrow's morning edition. However, the Reading Eagle did not. They failed to promote this event for us whatsoever, and then after the fact published a very lazily written and condescending piece where they insulted all the charitable work of the men and women who came out on a hot Sunday afternoon to raise money for charity by calling our performance slapstick. I found this to be a somewhat egregious occurrence, and I directed a very pointed email to the editorship and the executives in charge of the Reading Eagle asking why they chose to neglect the request to aid in creating greater awareness of this event. For certainly, a feature piece in this paper would have resulted in a greater turnout and therefore more donations to Baseball Town Charities, as 100% of the money made at this event ended up going to baseball town charities. Well, unfortunately, no one at the Reading Eagle newspaper has seen fit to answer these questions that I've asked for them, and so I am left with little recourse. I feel like this newspaper, which claims on its website that it serves the greater Berks County and surrounding areas and has for over 140 years, has been negligent in their duties. After all, they are based in Berks County. The wrestling organization Chikara, which staged this charitable event, is not. That is not our community, even though it is my hometown. And so, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm at Mike Quackenbush, and you see me sending out tweets urging the Reading Eagle to do right by the community they claim to serve by matching our $700 donation to Baseball Town Charities, I would be eternally grateful to you if you'd take the time to retweet it, or send a tweet in your own words, including at Reading Eagle, that's R-E-A-D-I-N-G-E-A-G-L-E, all as one word, at Reading Eagle, and let your voice be heard. If for some reason the constraints of 140 characters is too much to bear, head right over to readingeagle.com. Their contact page will give you email addresses for all their editors and the executive level people over the Reading Eagle, and you can direct a pointy email of your own writing to them as well. I would certainly appreciate it. And I think there is the opportunity here, if we get together, to flex our collective muscles and do something good that helps make sure that America's pastime remains vital in the lives of even underprivileged youth in Berks County. And certainly for a giant organization the nature of the Reading Eagle, which has some 500 employees, give or take, a donation to match that of Chikara's of just $700 is not an unreasonable request. Your help in this cause, my friends, will be very much appreciated by yours truly. And without further ado here, some little victories. Now, one of these is not a little victory, and I'm going to point this out right off the bat. Rudy, this is not a victory. This is just a guideline. Rudy Hewitt writes to me, rule number one when kids argue with mom, mom is always right. So that's like a rule or guideline. You even put it there. You put rule number one. But thanks for sending it anyway, Rudy. I got a great series of little victories here from our Facebook fan page. Indeed I did. Oscar Lozano wrote to me, my son is 1.5 years. He's learning sign language. Just last week, he started letting me know that he needs his diaper changed. That has been really helpful for him and for me. I can imagine so. Well done. I don't know how long you've been teaching sign language to your 1.5-year-old son, Oscar, but obviously you've had more success with it than I did. I gave up early on that whole infant sign language thing. It just wasn't getting anywhere. It's driving me nuts. I thought the guy that wrote the book had lied. Someone who I can only assume is using a pseudonym wrote to me, Pepper's a good dog writes, my 6-year-old girl likes zombies and robots. I consider that a win. And who wouldn't? Hashtag little victories on that one, Pepper's a good dog. Sam Korn wrote to me, loyal dub bobber Sam Korn sent this in last week. We got the kids to ride 8 miles on their own bikes. Not bad for 6 and 8. True enough. True enough, Sam. Well done there. Raul Colon, a favorite blogger of mine. Raul Colon, the loyal dog bobber had this to say. Our black Labrador is recovering from being bitten by another dog. I didn't even realize that was like a thing. Dog-on-dog violence. Our 19-month-old toddler is feeding him when he does not want to eat. She keeps on insisting where we would have given up. Her actions have helped with our dog continuing to eat his meals. Well done, Raul. Well done for raising a compassionate 19-month-old toddler. Kimberly James wrote this to me. While on vacation in Boston, my son found a penny on the sidewalk and put it in his pocket. About a block later was a homeless man with a cup in his hand begging for money. Without a thought, I watched my 7-year-old take the penny out of his pocket and place it in the man's styrofoam cup. I know it was just a penny, but his thoughtfulness almost made me cry. Stiff upper lip, Kim. Especially if a vacation in Boston. What the heck? It's not really a vacation, is it? Have some words with your husband, Kimberly James. To be fair, Boston is a beautiful city. I do like going to Boston. This is my favorite of the batch sent in to me this week. It comes from Terry Leaders, who I don't know has ever written to me before, so thanks for taking the time to do it, Terry. With this, your little victory, he writes, my 6-month-old son Liam got his first 2 teeth this week, then proceeded to eat an entire ribeye steak. Terry, that is terrific news. Next week, you must introduce him to the marvel that is A1 steak sauce. I expect a follow-up little victory on Daddy on Board 101. That is most likely the title I will give to the podcast I deliver to you next week. Although, there is 5 Fridays in the month of August, which means I may take a week off. We'll see how the sponsors feel about that before we make a hard and fast decision. I hope to see you soon. I love meeting you live and in person, as opposed to CGI and not in person, or over webcam late at night. You can come and see me. If not this weekend, I realize it's very short notice. I will be in this little thing. It's only the biggest pro wrestling tournament of the year. It's King of Trios 2012, and it takes place at the Palmer Center in Easton, Pennsylvania, on September 14th, 15th, and 16th. Tickets and information are available for you over at ChikaraPro.com. A world of incredible talent awaits you there. And in the meanwhile, catch me over on The Grizz, over on The Trending Show, and then back here in about a week's time. Until then, my friends, adios, amigos.